We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to begin reading in verse 8, and then read some selected verses from Proverbs chapter 25. We're dealing today on this subject, six ways to handle anger. Now, I know that you never have any difficulty with anger, so why don't you take some notes for a friend, all right? And get out a pen and write down what God has to say about how to handle anger. Because, dear friend, I don't know anything that's doing more damage to people personally than this problem of uncontrolled, unchristian anger. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his master. And then verse 15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Verses 21 and 22, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So we were talking to you today about how to handle anger. May I tell you that not all anger is bad. Some anger is good. The Lord Jesus got angry. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry and sin not. So you can be angry without sinning, right? You can be good and mad. You can. It's all right. The Lord Jesus got angry. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark, we read there in Mark the 3rd chapter about the 5th verse where Jesus was about to heal a man and the Pharisees were there, and in their hearts the milk of human kindness had curdled. And the Bible says that because of their reaction against the miracle that he was doing, the Bible says that he was moved with anger. Again, the Bible tells how Jesus clattered a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple, and he was moved with anger. What made Jesus angry was not what people did to him, but when Jesus Christ saw people abused, misused, downtrodden, neglected, when he saw the wickedness of people against the downtrodden, Jesus was moved with anger. My dear friend, listen. Listen, certain things ought to make you angry. Pornography ought to make you angry. Child abuse ought to make you angry. The drug traffic ought to make you angry. The slumlords ought to make you angry. Those who oppress the poor and the downtrodden ought to make you angry. But be careful that you're good and mad. You see, the way to be angry and sin not is to be angry only at sin. You see, you're to love the sinner and hate the sin. You say, wait a minute, you can't slice it that thin. You can't tell me that I can love a man and hate what he does. Oh, yes, you can. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten angry at yourself? Nod your head. Sure. Ever felt like kicking yourself in the seat of the pants? I have many times. I get angry at me quite often. Do I love me? Yes. Do you love you? Yes. Do you ever get angry at your children? Sure. not because you don't love them, but because you do love them. You see, love and anger are not mutually exclusive. Sometimes anger is the best expression of love. I'm talking about good anger, godly anger, righteous anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. But there is an uncontrolled anger that I'm talking about, an ungodly anger. You know, there's some people who are proud of their anger. I mean, they literally are proud of it. They think that their temper is a mark of strength or character or something. They say, well, you know, I get mad at the drop of a hat and I'll even supply the hat. Then there are other people, they're not that way. They don't fly into a rage. They're angry, but they're on the inside angry. On the outside, they're just as cool as they can be, but they've got anger that's eating them alive from the inside. Ungodly, unrighteous, uncontrolled anger. Let me give you five marks to know whether your anger is sinful anger. Number one, when it is without sufficient cause. Jesus spoke of him who's angry with his brother without cause. If you do not have a righteous reason for anger, of course, then it's sinful anger. If that anger is against the person rather than the offense, then, my dear friend, it is unrighteous anger. If you have a desire for revenge, it's unrighteous anger. If you harbor that anger in your heart and don't want to give it up, it's unrighteous anger. If you have an unforgiving spirit, it is unrighteous anger. Well, thank God, God tells us how to handle anger. Now, I'm going to give you six principles right here out of the Word of God, all of them taken from this 25th chapter of Proverbs, and I hope you'll jot them down for your friend who needs them. And first of all, let me tell you what to do. Number one, learn to deal with anger patiently, patiently. Look, if you will, please, in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. That is, don't get angry in a hurry. Don't rush in without praying, without thinking, without mulling it over. What has made you angry? Just take your anger apart a little bit, back off and look at it. This is so hard to do, isn't it? You see, what you have to do is to get ready ahead of time, because it's too late when the problem has come. You have to get this into your heart. You have to let the Holy Spirit of God teach you this lesson and write it right now upon your heart. The next time that thing comes that makes me angry, I am not going to rush in blindly without even thinking. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. By the way, let me give you several proverbs, because there are many proverbs that say the same thing. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17. Listen to it. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Do you know what that means? You get angry just like that, you're a fool. Now, I didn't say that. God said you were a fool. Look in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. That is, God says, just be slow. Don't be in such a hurry to get angry. Look in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. He says the same thing over there in our text that we just read. He said, you know, you can be put to shame by getting angry too quick. You just jump at conclusions. You don't even know. You answer a matter before you hear it. I heard of a mother who had a little boy who'd been known to misbehave. She sent the little boy to a birthday party and said, now, I've told Mrs. Jones that if you misbehave, to send you home early, and I'm going to punish you if she has to do that. The little boy went off to the birthday party. In about 15 minutes, he was back home. Boy, I mean, she flew off the handle. She took the little kid and skinned him. I mean, just whipped him good. And then she said, and what did you do that Ms. Jones sent you home? He said, I didn't do nothing. Said, the party ain't till tomorrow. Now, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it. Years ago, I heard a little thing about a dog named August who was always jumping at conclusions. One day, he jumped at the conclusion of a mule. That was the last day of August. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, the Bible says, he's a fool. Now listen to Proverbs chapter 29 and see what it says here in verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. So what you need to do is just cool it. Just cool it. Don't be in such a hurry. You say, well, I can't help it. Things just come over me. I just can't control it. Don't tell me that. You can control it. You can control it. Don't tell me you can't. Have you and your wife ever been in one of those discussions that can be heard for about a block away? And I mean, you know, just right into it. I mean, really into it. Just out of control, you think. And then the telephone rings. You pick up the phone. Hello? How do you do that? I mean, how do you just turn it off just like that? I'll tell you how. Because your pride doesn't want to let the person know on the other end that you're in an argument. You can control it. You can. You choose not to control it sometime, and you get yourself in all kind of trouble. Now, the Bible says that you are to deal with anger patiently. Look again, if you will, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8. Look at it. Go not forth hastily to strive. Number two, not only should you deal with it patiently, but deal with it privately. Verses 9 and 10, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. That is, once you start something like this, you can't stop it. So don't share secrets. I've learned a long time ago, dear friend, if you don't want it told, don't say it. And you keep the circle of knowledge no larger than the circle of need. A secret's something we tell one person at a time. Now, the Bible says you just debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. If somebody has done you wrong, do as Jesus said and go to that person privately after you've cooled down, according to verse 8, then according to verse 9, you go to him as an individual. Privately, carefully, coolly, face to face, heart to heart, individually. The Lord Jesus taught exactly the same thing in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. You keep the circle of knowledge no bigger than the circle of need. A lot of family grief, a lot of neighborhood spats would be solved if people would just do this one thing. Let me show you another proverb that teaches the same thing. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. Look at it. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. True friends, that's what it means. When you repeat something, friend, just hear it. If somebody's done wrong, cover it. Love covers a multitude of sins. Pride wants to uncover. Love wants to cover. Go tell that person who's done you wrong. Just tell him. Don't tell somebody else. Tell him. Go to your neighbor alone. If thy brother trespass against thee, tell him his fault between you and him alone. Some of you young marrieds, listen to me. You've been married a little while and you have your first argument. And young lady, maybe your husband will do something to you maybe he ought not to do. Maybe he'll just walk out of the house and slam the door so hard a picture falls off the wall. Or maybe he'll say something real cruel to you. God have mercy upon a man who'd do that. Amen. But maybe he would. And then later on, you two make up. You ask God to forgive, and you forgive one another. And God puts it back together, and can he? Amen. He sure can. But what if you go tell your mama what happened? I'm going to tell you something. Your mama will remember that long after you've forgotten it. Did you know that? She will. She'll remember it long after you've forgotten it. Now listen, folks. Listen. You just keep the circle of knowledge no bigger than the circle of need. Sometimes you do need to share. I mean, sometimes there is a time when you need to share. But just keep the circle of knowledge no bigger than the circle of need and go to that person privately. Oh, how much grief and heartache would be spared us if we would simply obey the Word of God. Deal with it patiently. Deal with it privately. Now here's the third way. Deal with it prudently. Begin to read here in verse 11, chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken, that means prudently spoken, is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Actually, in the Bible times, it didn't have apples like we have them. Most scholars believe this means oranges. An apple means something round. Your eye is spoken of as the apple of your eye, your eyeball. It means something round. Apples of gold or oranges. Can you imagine anything any more beautiful than bright golden oranges in a silver basket? Now listen. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger. Now what he's saying is, be so wise in the way that you use your tongue in the time of anger. Now words can bruise or words can bless. These speak of the beautiful use of words. But just fast forward over here in this same chapter, if you would, and look in verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, M-A-U-L. That means a battle axe and a sword and a sharp arrow. Have you ever heard anybody say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me? Oh, friend, words can do more than sticks and stones. Like a battle axe, words can crush. Like a sword, they can slice. Like an arrow, they can pierce. But words can heal. Words can heal. Go back again. He's saying that words can be fitly arranged, carefully selected, like apples in baskets of silver. Can you see a person? Can you see a housewife? She's selecting this fruit, sweet and succulent. She polishes it, and she puts it in a silver basket and puts it there. How beautiful that is. And God says that you should be that selective with your words. Oh, God, set a watch upon my lips. Let your speech be seasoned with salt, a word fitly spoken. Be careful with your words. Oh, when you get angry, be careful with your words, my dear friend. You have to choose your words. Did you know that you can say things, the same thing two different ways? You can say to a woman, you look like a breath of spring. Or you can say to her, you look like the end of a long, hard winter. Same thing. You can say to her, when I look into your face, time stands still. Or you can say, you've got a face that'd stop a clock. Same thing. Words fitly spoken. He says, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, like an ornament, like an earring. That is something that can be worn, something that can be displayed, something you don't have to be ashamed of. Like the cold of snow in harvest time. Can you imagine someone out there in the Valley of Jezreel in about late October or September when the sun is so hot there in the Middle East, and he looks up there and sees snow-capped Mount Hermon and says, oh, for a drink of that ice water. Dear friend, that's what your words can do. They can refresh. They can cool down an opponent. That's the reason you need to deal with it patiently so you can deal with it prudently. To go back and think about what you want to say. Oh, I cannot tell you the importance of obeying the Word of God at this point. A word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken. That means prudence. Go back to Proverbs chapter 15 and look with me in verse 1 while we're on this same subject. A soft answer turneth away wrath, But grievous words stir up anger. Your words can smother an argument, or your words can be like pouring kerosene on a fire. Look in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? How good is it? You husbands especially need to pray over your words. You need to get alone and write down what you want to say to your wife. There's something she does that angers you. Put it in words, fitly spoken. Deal with it prudently. Now, next of all, deal with your anger powerfully. You say, well, I don't want to be a wimp. I want to get something done about it. Wonderful. Let me show you how to be powerful. Look, if you will, here in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded. That's pretty powerful if you can control the throne. And a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Did you know that you have more power doing it God's way than you have doing it your own way? I mean, you want to set things right. Now, if you're just trying to get even, well, that's another matter. Sometimes we punish our children. We're not correcting them. We're just getting even, huh? But, I mean, if you really want to solve the problem, God says, I'm going to show you how to be so powerful that you can literally rule the king as he rules the throne, how you can break the bones of your enemy by that soft answer, by that prudence, by that patience, by that dealing personally as God would have you deal with that matter of anger. So many things that we think are strength and power are not strength and power. I was reading about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, you know, the heavyweight champion. I tore this out of USA Today. It says here, Mike Tyson's volcanic rage has erupted again. Now, this was October the 4th, 88. The heavyweight champion smashed windows in his $4.25 million Bernardsville, New Jersey mansion Sunday morning, causing his wife and mother-in-law to flee and call police. And I'm going to skip a little bit here, but it says that Tyson threw chairs through windows, took an instrument from the fireplace, and ran through the estate, smashing windows. And it goes on to talk about some things that he did. He's a tough guy. Big. Don't get in a ring with him. But I tell you what, sounds to me like he belongs in a romper room. Now, Mike, if you're watching, I'm just kidding. But you think about it. You think about it. Here's this man with this tremendous power and this tremendous wealth taking a poker and run around breaking out windows in a house that cost over $4 million. Friend, that is not strength. That's weakness. That's weakness. That's weakness. You know what strength is? Strength is power under control. That's what God says here. God says, listen, I'll tell you how to persuade kings. I'll tell you how to break bones with a soft tongue. Friend, do you want to bring the power of God into your home? The power of God into your business? The power of God into your life, into your relationships with your children? You screaming mothers, you're wrecking that home. You're ruining that child. The law of kindness be in your mouth. That's where the power is. That's what's going to mold that life, make that life. Deal with anger powerfully. Your temper tantrums are not strength, they're weakness. God's not in the tornado. He's in the still small voice. All right, now next. Deal with your anger positively. Positively, not negatively, but positively. Look, if you will, in verses 21 and 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now, that's the way, again, to get the power of God into this thing. Just, the Bible says, do good to those that despitefully use you. It's so hard to want to do this because everything in us says, I've got to get even. Isn't that right? But just do them good. Not evil for evil, but good for evil. There's several areas of life. The lowest level of life is to do evil for good. That's the satanic level. The human level is to do good for good and evil for evil. But God's level is to do good for evil. To do good, to bless and curse not. You see, let me tell you how to get rid of your enemies. Make a friend out of them. Make a friend out of them. And don't just lord it over them with that sticky, ooey-gooey goodness. But I mean really, truly, do them good. You'd be amazed how good it feels. How wonderful it is. And God moves in. You say, they don't deserve it. Hey, did you deserve it when Jesus saved you? Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Friend, those who deserve love the least need it the most. They are the ones who need it the most. Be positive. Be not overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. Now, last of all, here's the sixth way that the writer of Proverbs tells us to handle anger. Not only should you do it positively, not negatively, not rendering evil for evil, but good for evil, but then deal with it personally. Notice how he ends this marvelous passage here in verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You see, before you deal with anybody else, you've got to deal with yourself. How are you going to deal patiently? How are you going to deal personally? How are you going to deal prudently? How are you going to deal, my dear friend, these ways unless you first of all dealt with yourself? Now, the reason you fly out of control is that you're out of control. You're not ruling your own spirit. And when you don't rule your own spirit, what happens is you open yourself up to demonic invasion. That's the reason Paul said there in Ephesians 4, be angry and sin not. And then he goes right on to say, and don't give place to the devil. Because when you are angry and you sin, that becomes the devil's campground. That becomes the devil's beachhead. You're like a city without walls. And the devil comes in and he begins to war. You get out of control. You're more vulnerable when you're angry, more vulnerable to Satan than perhaps at any other time, because you're out of control. You're trying to hurt somebody else, and who you're really hurting is you. Anger is an acid that destroys its container. You're really hurting you. Did you ever watch Amos and Andy? You know, one day Amos and Andy were walking along, and Amos saw Andy, and Andy had on a big overcoat. And in that overcoat, there was a bulge. And Amos said to Andy, he said, it's summertime. Why you got that overcoat on? And what's that bulge up there? He said, it's dynamite. He said, I got dynamite strapped on my chest. He said, why? Oh, he said, I got a guy, he said, every time he talks to me, he always thumps me on the chest. It makes me mad. The next time he does that, he said, I'm going to blow his hand off. Yeah, and he's going to blow his heart out too, right? That's exactly what we do. In blowing their hand off, we blow our heart out. You see, look at it again. Look and see what he says. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You say, he made me angry. No, he didn't. You made you angry. You had no defense because you didn't rule your own. Nobody can make you angry. It's not what they do that makes you angry. It is your response to what they do that makes you angry. If you're asleep and somebody says all kind of bad things about you and you're sleeping so sound you don't hear them, that doesn't make you angry. But if you're awake and you hear them, then you could get angry. So obviously, it's not what they do, it's your response. The first time they did the same thing, but you were asleep. It is your response to what they do that makes you angry. Now, if somebody can make you angry, it's because you don't rule your own spirit. You see, if somebody can push a button and you explode in anger, then you are their slave. They make you angry anytime they want to. All they have to do is just push the button and bang, there you go. Well, who's in control? Not you, them. There you go. Why? Because you have not ruled your own spirit. Now, the time to get these principles in your heart is now, not when you're in the middle of that argument, because you can't go say, let me get those sermon notes here. No, this is a way of life. This is why you have to wake up in the morning and bathe yourself in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, temperance, goodness, mercy, faith. Temperance is the last one. Temperance. You know what temperance means? Control. Control. Not self-control. But it is the Holy Spirit of God working in you that attitude of control that is really spirit control. You know what our prayer ought to be every morning? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All His wonderful passion and purity. Oh, Thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Do you know what spills out when you get jostled? Whatever you're full of. If you're full of Jesus, somebody jostles you, Jesus will spill out. If you're full of wrath and anger and frustration, that's going to spill out. If you want to know what I am, don't watch me now, because what you're seeing right now are my actions. And I'm trying to control them. I'm aware that you're watching me. I'm watching you too. You don't look so good either. I know that it's Sunday morning. Want to see the real Adrian? Watch him on the expressway when somebody heads him off. Or somebody steps in line in front of him. Or somebody insults him. And see what spills out. That's the real me, and that's the real you. And friend, that happens long before the incident, whether you've stored up Jesus or not in your heart. That's the reason why every morning we have to lean our arms on the windowsill of heaven and look into the face of Jesus and say, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Deal with it personally. If you don't rule your own spirit, you're like a city without walls. And the enemy's going to come in when you're least expecting it. You're going to say, I don't know what happened to me. I'm just surprised at myself. Well, God's not surprised, because you've been running on empty. That's six ways to handle anger, right out of the Word of God.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but You died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for You from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.